Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Forgiven, the weekly radio broadcast of Northeast Baptist Church of Danbury. We're happy that you tuned in today, and we hope you will find the program beneficial to you. Now, here's our pastor, Joe Vassie.
The Bible has quite a bit to say about mysteries. It describes many different facets of the Christian faith as mysteries. For example, in Matthew 13, verse 11, it talks about the mystery of the kingdom of God. In Romans 16, 25, it refers to the mystery of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, it mentions the mystery of the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 speaks of the mystery of the resurrection. Ephesians 1, 9 tells us about the mystery of God's will. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, the Bible refers to the mystery of iniquity. And in 1 Timothy 3, 9, the mystery of faith. There are others, but you get the idea. Now, Bible mystery isn't something that can't be understood. A Bible mystery is a truth that will only be understood by the person who cares enough to investigate. God always gives answers to the people who are willing to ask him. Here's a good example of that. Jesus was preaching to a large crowd of people one day, and as he often did, he was using a parable to teach a lesson. A parable is a physical story that teaches a parallel spiritual truth. The meaning of the physical story gives you insight into the spiritual truth. So Jesus was using a parable to teach the crowds, but he didn't explain the meaning of the parable. When the story was finished, most of the crowd walked away. But a small group of people stayed behind to ask Jesus what the parable meant. Before Jesus explained the meaning of the parable, he said to that small group of people, "To you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now, some people take that to mean that you can only understand the things of God if God chooses you to be one of the people who understands. But it's clear what Jesus meant by that statement. He was telling them the only people who understand the things of God are the people who care enough to stick around and ask questions. Jesus told them most of the people listening today went away saying to themselves, "Nice story, wonder what it means. But you stayed behind to ask me what it means. And since you did, you're going to find the answer." So I say again, a Bible mystery isn't something that can't be understood. A Bible mystery is a truth that will only be understood by the person who cares enough to investigate. God always gives answers to the people who are willing to ask him. There's a mystery that God requires every human being to solve for his or herself, and that is the mystery of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God says the life of Jesus Christ is a mystery. And here's why. There are some things about this man Jesus that just don't make sense. I mean, they make no sense at all. Unless you're willing to solve the mystery. And like any mystery, in fact, more than any other mystery in all of life, this mystery demands to be solved. It demands to be solved because the implications of the answers to this mystery lead to conflicting worldviews. The good news is the mystery of Jesus can be solved and will be solved by every person who is spiritually inquisitive enough to ask God for answers. God is the rewarder of everyone who diligently seeks him. And whether or not that includes you is totally up to you. There are multiplied millions of people in this world who have chosen to solve the mystery of Jesus. And as a result, they have an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The mystery of Jesus doesn't bother them in the least because they investigated it, and for them, the mystery is solved. But there are many other people who ignore the mystery of Jesus Christ, and as a result, the rest of life doesn't make sense to them either. Or if they don't ignore the mystery of Jesus Christ, they're content to go with some lame cop-out like, "Well, Jesus was just a good man. He was a good teacher who did a lot of illusions that were exaggerated and blown out of proportion. But overall, he was a very good man." Well, that doesn't explain a thing because Jesus claimed to be God. If he wasn't who he claimed to be, he wasn't a good man. He was a fraud, a deceiver. And then there's this approach to the mystery of Jesus. "Well, I just don't believe that Jesus ever really lived at all." And that's just beyond ignorant. The handful of people that I've met in my lifetime who took the position that Jesus never even existed, they were so far removed from reality in every area of life that you couldn't believe anything they said. That's just not a position that an educated, well-read, well-traveled person can take if they hope to have any credibility. That's utter nonsense to say that Jesus Christ never lived on this earth. And it's one more failed attempt to dismiss the mystery of who is Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, billions of people around the world over the last 2,000 years have lived and died with the perfect peace that they found the answer to this great mystery that demands to be solved by one person at a time. The mystery of Jesus Christ cannot be ignored. It demands to be solved. The answers to this mystery define a person's worldview, his philosophies of life, and his eternal destiny. What effort have you made to solve the mystery of Jesus Christ for yourself? You really can't afford to ignore him. The mystery of Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about the details of this mystery in just a few minutes. First, let's listen to my family sing a song called I Know Jesus.
Christ was crucified, and for me he died, so from sin's bondage I would be free. Then he rose again, he's at the Father's right hand, interceding for my every need. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know he'll be waiting for me. When I cross chilly Jordan someday,
there was a time when I did not know him, and my life was burdened with sin. Then we met one day at an old-fashioned altar, and now he is my dearest friend. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know he'll be waiting for me.
The life of Jesus Christ is a mystery. It's a mystery that demands to be solved. And everyone who chooses to solve the mystery of Jesus Christ will receive complete satisfaction in their search. God promises that they will. And God has never failed to keep that promise. Let me present to you the mystery of Jesus Christ through three basic questions. The first question is this. How did the life of this one common man impact the entire world? This man, Jesus, was raised by a carpenter and his wife in a small town in the country of Israel called Nazareth. Nazareth was a town of hard-working, uneducated people. If you grew up in Nazareth, it was just assumed that you didn't know how to read, and you certainly wouldn't have had an advanced education. Yet this man had wisdom and understanding that confounds educated people to this day. This simple man with no formal education, raised in an unheard-of village, introduced a message that has been preached all over the world many times over. Countless volumes have been written about this man's life and his teachings. His teachings have been translated into every known language. More has been written and printed about this man and his life and his teachings than about any other individual who has ever lived. That's a mystery. How do you explain that? This simple man from a small village with no formal education established an institution called the church. This institution has been duplicated in towns and cities all over the world for the last 2,000 years. Every time you see a steeple or a cross, it has its roots in the life of an uneducated carpenter who was raised in an obscure village on the other side of the world 2,000 years ago. Can you think of any other institution or any business that was established 2,000 years ago that put hundreds of thousands, even millions of franchises all over the world and that's still operating in full force today? That's a mystery. How do you explain that? How was the birth of this one simple man able to alter the course of human history? How did his birth become the focal point of human history? How is it that history is divided into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord? How did that birth of a simple man in a very small town 2,000 years ago have such an impact on history? How is it that his birth and his death are still celebrated around the world 2,000 years after he lived? That's a great mystery. You can't simply lump Jesus in with other teachers or philosophers or religious leaders. Aristotle didn't have anywhere near this level of influence on human history. Plato, Socrates, Buddha, Muhammad, their lives, their writings, their messages, all put together, don't begin to compare to the impact of the life of this simple, uneducated man from an obscure village 2,000 years ago. So the first part of the mystery of Jesus Christ is represented in this question. How could the life of this one common man impact the entire world so profoundly? There's no denying his phenomenal, incomparable influence on the entire world throughout history. So how do you explain it? Here's the second question in this great mystery. How has the message of Jesus Christ endured and even thrived throughout the centuries in the face of relentless opposition? Jesus said from the get-go, this world hates me, they're going to hate everybody who follows me. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who doesn't believe in Christ has an intense personal hatred for everybody who does believe in Christ. No, Jesus wasn't saying that at all. Here's what he was saying. The message of the gospel runs contrary to popular opinion. It always has, and it always will. Jesus was simply warning those who follow him that popular opinion will always reject the message of Jesus Christ. And his warning came to pass. 11 of Jesus' 12 apostles were martyred for their faith. The apostle James was beheaded in Jerusalem. Matthew was executed with a halberd in Ethiopia. The other James, called James the Less, the writer of the epistle of James, was stoned and had his brains beaten out at the age of 94. Andrew, the brother of Peter, was crucified, as was Peter himself. The apostle Paul was beheaded. The man that we've nicknamed Doubting Thomas was thrust through with a spear in India. There was another apostle besides Peter who was named Simon. Simon took the gospel message all the way to Great Britain, where he was crucified for the faith. That was the first generation of believers. Every century since Christ has had its own shameful persecution of Christian believers. Tortures, beheadings, burnings at the stake. Hundreds of thousands of believers over the centuries suffering for the simple crime of professing to be followers of Jesus Christ. Even as we speak, in places in the world today, Christians are being persecuted and executed for believing in Jesus Christ. I regularly receive reports from underground churches in places like China and Syria, stories that never make the news, in places where those who call themselves Christians make themselves public enemy number one. When they're tortured or wounded, if they're taken to the local hospital, they're refused medical care simply because they call themselves Christians. Christianity has been a target and an enemy in various degrees since Jesus himself was rejected and crucified. And yet, the Christian faith thrives. This faith, founded by a poor, uneducated man from an obscure village 2,000 years ago, though its disciples are targeted, rejected, attacked, persecuted, tortured, outlawed, and executed, still it thrives. That's a mystery. How do you explain that, especially over the course of 2,000 years, and especially when you consider that no other faith or creed or idea or concept in the history of the human race can claim such a track record? The message of Jesus Christ has not only endured persecution, it has thrived in the face of persecution. William Tyndale, the man most responsible for translating the Bible into the English language, he did his translating in violation of the law. Tyndale's English translation of the Bible was illegal. He was arrested and burned at the stake for his horrible crime, and his dying words were these, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." That was 1536. 75 years later, 1611, the King of England authorized the translation of the Bible into English, and the King James Version of the Bible changed the world. The more the faith of Jesus Christ is persecuted, the more it thrives. It's very well documented that one of the first goals of communism when it takes over a nation is to remove the Christian influence from that nation. Countless stories have been published over the years of the persecution, the torture, and the execution of Christian people in communist countries. In communist countries, Christians are considered enemies of the state. And yet, in so many countries around the world, communism was defeated and Christianity still thrives. This faith, established by a poor man raised in a small town 2,000 years ago, the faith based upon his message, his life, and his gospel, the more it is persecuted and opposed, the more it thrives. That's a great mystery. How do you explain that mystery? The mystery of Jesus Christ. How did the life of this one common man impact the entire world? How has the message of Jesus Christ endured and even thrived throughout the centuries in the face of relentless opposition? And then the third question is this. How is it that this man who lived 2,000 years ago is still transforming the lives of people today? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people's lives. I'm not trying to bash any other set of teachings, but the fact is, no other faith can make that claim, at least not anywhere on the scale that the faith of Jesus Christ can. Sure, there are religions that recruit people to a new way of thinking and persuade people to become devoted to their organizations. I mean, that's true not only of religions, that's true of businesses, infomercials, pyramid schemes, fad diets, country clubs, all sorts of organizations. But I'm talking about a message. A message that has transformed, multiplied millions of lives. It's a message that does what nothing else can do. It sets people free from bondage, from the bondage of addiction. It gives peace of mind to the depressed. It reunites broken families. It brings healing to the hurting. It turns hateful people into loving people. It brings hope to people who have given up on life. It gives meaning and understanding to those who are confused. The testimonies of people whose lives have been transformed are endless, endless. There's no other teaching, no other creed, no other faith, no other man who has ever lived who can make that claim. Nobody but Jesus Christ. So try to make a logical connection between a poor, uneducated carpenter raised in an obscure village on the other side of the world 2,000 years ago and a person living in the 21st century who's at the end of his rope, who doesn't know where to turn. He hears the message of that man from 2,000 years ago and has his life completely turned around. How's that possible? That's a great mystery. It'd be a great mystery if it happened one time. But this happens again and again and again. It has happened millions and millions of times. And it happens every single day around the world that somebody living here and now has his or her life transformed by the message of a poor, uneducated carpenter raised in an obscure village on the other side of the world 2,000 years ago. That is a crazy, unbelievable mystery that demands to be solved. There's no way that any thinking person can be content to ignore the mystery of Jesus Christ. You've read of many people in history whose lives were transformed by believing on Jesus. You've heard of many celebrities whose lives were transformed by believing on Jesus. You have family members and co-workers whose lives were transformed by believing on Jesus. How is that possible? How is it possible that so many random people who've never met one another are bitten by the same message and it has the same transforming impact on all of them? How is it that this transformation happens repeatedly to so many different people in so many different cultures, so many different places, and the thing that they have in common is this man who lived 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world? That's a mystery that demands your investigation. The answer to this mystery is very simple. And if you haven't yet found it for yourself, it's the one answer that you may not want to hear. That this man, Jesus Christ, is and was God. The Bible explanation is clear. It's no mystery. John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the answer to this mystery. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's the answer to the mystery. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the peacemaker for our sins. That's the answer to the mystery. There's no other way to explain how this one man impacted the entire world in a way that no other man ever has. There's no other way to explain how the message and the life and the teachings of this one man has endured and thrived in the face of the most vicious, hateful, persistent persecution that any faith or message has ever had to endure. There's no other way to explain how the life and message of this one man who lived 2,000 years ago has consistently transformed the lives of millions of men, women, boys, and girls around the world over these last 2,000 years and is still transforming lives today. There's no other way to explain that except to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is exactly who the Bible says he is. He is God's gift to the human race. He came to this earth because we are a fallen race in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He was the only human being who ever lived who did not owe the penalty of death as the punishment for his own sin. Because he did not have his own sins to die for, he was the one man who could die for the sins of others. I could never die for your sins because I have my own sins to pay for. You could never die for my sins because you have your own sins to pay for. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, he never sinned. And so he didn't owe the same sin debt that the rest of the human race owed. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Now, if that's the first time you're hearing that, you probably have a hard time comprehending it. But just because you may not be able to comprehend it, please don't refuse to believe it. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. That's the whole answer to the mystery. That completely answers the question of how the life of this poor, uneducated carpenter from an obscure village could have such a profound impact on the world. It fully answers the question of how his message could be so constantly and maliciously attacked and persecuted and yet not only endure, but thrive. And it thoroughly explains how his life and message could change the lives of so many millions of people throughout history around the world to this very day. Will you let him change your life? If you will, then first you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is and that he died to pay for your sins. Once you make the decision to believe it, you simply have to receive it for yourself. The Bible promises, as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, it's a very simple decision that you make in your heart. Won't you make that decision today? Will you say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe that he died for me? And will you say, today, I receive him as my Savior? If your answer is yes, then tell God for yourself. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. Pray to God and say something like this. Dear God, you say that I'm a sinner, and I plead guilty. I am a sinner. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. And today, I'm receiving Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Help me to live for you. Take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me. Amen. It's not the prayer that makes the difference. It's God who makes the difference in response to your decision to say yes to his invitation. God promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I urge you to tell someone you know that you've made that choice today. Read the Bible for yourself. Talk to God for yourself. If you like some help getting started with God, or if you need your own copy of the Bible, please email me at forgiven@nbcdanberry.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. God bless you, and have a great week.
The people of Northeast Baptist Church thank you for spending a few minutes with us this morning. We appreciate your time, and we hope that you enjoyed the Forgiven broadcast. If you'd like to contact us with a comment or a prayer need, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at forgiven@nbcdanberry.org, or you can call the church office at 203-798-7088. We invite you to join our live stream service this morning at 11. You can watch it at nbcdanberry.org, on our Northeast Baptist Church Facebook page, or on our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed the radio broadcast, you'll love our church services. We'll see you again next Sunday morning at 7. God bless you, and have a great week.